I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Once again, I'm glad you could join us for the Netcast. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Boy, I tell you what, I just got so much fun things to talk about this week. We're just going to dive right into it. Okay, here's the thing. You know that I'm involved in all kinds of geeky things. One of the things that I'm involved in that I really, really enjoy is helping out with a internet, or is it and? See, there's that English being an issue again. Anyway, with an internet radio station. Now, internet radio is an interesting phenomenon. I was reminded of of someone who watches the Dr. Bill Netcast that sent me a sound file that they put together of me saying phenomenon, but they did it to the tune of Manamana, you know, the Muppet song. So it's phenomenon, phenomenon. That just stuck in my brain. So I'm sorry if my brain went blank there for a second. Anyway, internet radio is an interesting phenomenon, and that is because it is free, it is broadcast over the internet, and there are literally tens of thousands of different radio stations with every kind of conceivable format that you can imagine, and they're all out there. Now, regular, I guess you'd call it terrestrial broadcast stations also stream via the internet. And that's a good thing. So they're out there as well. But basically, anybody that has a server, some technical know-how, some knowledge of how radio stations work and how to program them, and some other pieces of software, including Shoutcast Server, which is free. Pretty cool. Matter of fact, it is made by the same people that make the Winamp player. If you have ever seen the Winamp player. Now, I use VLC. Personally, that's just my preference. A lot of people love Winamp, but Winamp is available, and their server-side software for internet radio stations is also available, and that is Shoutcast. So Shoutcast, and then you have to have some way to program your station. Now, we use, with the station that I work with, we use a program called Radio Boss. Radio Boss is PC software that is the client for the Shoutcast server, okay? Now, getting a little technical here, but that's okay because that's why you watch Dr. Bill, is for all that techiness, right? Yes. So, anyway, so I work with WOFR, Word of Faith Radio, and it is a Christian station, and we broadcast 24/7, 365, with Word of Faith teaching and music and all kinds of good stuff, okay? But anyway, the bottom line is it is highly geeky, and I enjoy it. And so one of the things that is happening with internet radio, of course, you can listen to it over your PC. You would expect that since it's internet radio and your PC's connected to the internet. Most of the time, you can go to the station's website, like in our case, WOFR.org, click on the player, and you can play it over the Flash player. You can also play it through VLC. I mentioned VLC earlier. You can use VLC by tapping into the stream. Don't you love that? Streaming audio is streamed. And so, in our case, for our feed, I'm using it as an example, it would be http://feed.wofr.org:. Now, as you know, with the URL, if you have a colon, whatever number comes after that is the port that you're connecting to. Okay? So, colon 8000. 8000 is the standard port for Shoutcast. So that port in VLC plugged in there would allow you to listen as well. So all kinds of cool ways you can do it. Well, here's what's neat. Now they're actually making internet radios, okay? Have been for a little while, but they've been very, very expensive. So recently, because my wife Belinda loves to listen to Word of Faith Radio, good stuff, she was having an issue of not being able to be around the computer all the time. You know, you got to be around the computer to hear it because it's streamed over the computer. So I got to thinking for her birthday to get her an internet radio, and I did. And this is it. Isn't it tiny? I'll try to keep the shininess down there, but it gets shiny. Anyway, this radio, I'm going to turn it around slowly, and hopefully you can read there. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring it in closer to the camera. See where it says mutant? It's a mutant radio. It's from outer space. No, anyway. But this is really cool. I love this technology. As small and thin as that is, it connects via Wi-Fi to the internet anywhere here in the house. How cool is that? So, obviously, I had to set it up for my internal network, right? I had to plug in the key to, and it allows you to do that with a little wheel here, a little wheel like on an iPad or iPod or whatever, you know. So let me show you how it works. We turn it on. See it go blinky, blinky, blinky. When it quits blinking, it's actually on. Now it's connecting, and since she has Word of Faith Radio set up as a favorite, it will connect to Word of Faith Radio shortly and start playing. Let me see if I can turn the volume up just a tad.
But now, go with me here. But first time when he talked about prayer, he talks about praying for your enemies.
Isn't that cool?
Now go with me to...
And now this gentleman that's on right at the minute, in the moment, I'm going to turn it off.
Here you see another type of...
He is one of our international speakers. So we got all kinds of folks on Word of Faith Radio. But isn't that cool? Look at that. Isn't that neat? And it has a rechargeable lithium ion battery that'll hold a charge for 10 hours. It's a long time. And it plugs in to USB with a cable little hooky thing here. See, you move this little tab and you plug it in here and you charge it up. Ah! And it's got a built-in speaker and actually quite a good speaker. You know, so neat stuff. Now, here's the other cool thing about it. As you'd imagine, with any device that connects to the network, it has a Wi-Fi card, for lack of better, a network card in here, which has a MAC address. Now, the cool thing about MAC addresses, quick little computer thing here. MAC addresses are unique in all the world. There can be no other device in the world that has the same MAC address as your network interface card or NIC card, NIC. So this device has a built-in wireless card that has a unique MAC address. You say, Dr. Bill, why do I care? I'm getting there. Okay, so here's the thing. You go to a special website, vtuner.com. You go to a special hidden location on that website that is in the instructions that come with the radio, which is csr.vtuner.com. And it has a little place where you can type in your MAC address. When you type in the MAC address, you then create an account on that website, and it allows you to set up your favorites. So you don't have to fool around with a little wheel and figure out how to put it all in there. You can just put it on there right on the website with your keyboard. How cool is that? So it's really, really neat. Now, way less than 100 bucks on this guy. The price has come down to where it's really, really affordable. So go out and get one. Now, you know, they're not a sponsor of the station or station. I'm thinking Word of Faith Radio. They're not a sponsor of that station either. But they're not a sponsor of the Netcast is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, doesn't benefit the Netcast. But that's okay. To do that, you can take advantage of our sponsor, which is shown right here. Ah, yeah, I snuck it in, didn't I? The Roku Box. Use the Roku Box. You can also get Word of Faith Radio, our internet radio stations, through the Roku Box, as well as video, as well as techpodcast.com, as well as Blueberry, all kinds of stuff. So go to the where the banner says here, drbill.cc, right here in this area, drbill.cc. Go there, click on the Roku ad, and order yourself a Roku. They start at $59.95. Dude, you can get one, and it'll be awesome. And I've been playing with mine, and I joined Netflix, and I'm just watching all kinds of cool stuff. So, fun. Geeky. So we've got Roku geekiness. We've got the Mutant Radio. Mutant Radio. I like it. It's mutant. Anyway, we got that internet radio. Wanted to show you that. I just like showing you geeky fun things. And I'm always playing with geeky fun things. Okay? So let's go into the tech news, shall we? On the blog, of course, the blog being DrBill, DrBill.cc. Just like it says. Go there and you can find all the articles that I talk about during the netcast. Okay? So, let's look at the first item after the last netcast was aired. Matter of fact, let's actually go back just a bit, because one of the things that was posted didn't get mentioned on the last netcast, even though technically it came out before the last netcast was recorded. That's hard to say, so I won't try to say it again. Anyway, that news item is that we are running out of IP addresses. Now, we've been talking about running out of IP addresses for a very long time. IPv4, which is the current standard where you have 192.168.1.1, that string, IP address, theoretically, we're running out of them. Now, that has been augmented somewhat by the fact that most people use a private internal IP address, like the one I just mentioned, 192.168. .x.x. That is a private IP range. Another private IP range would be 172.30.x.x, for instance. It's another private IP range. You say, well, how does that work? Well, those are IP address ranges that you would have on one side of your firewall that is not exposed to the real internet. And then you have a router that allows you to have those NAT, okay, network area translation, is that right? And then it translates out to the real IP address, which is the one IP that's sitting on your router. Now, for instance, if you're sitting at work and you've got 2,000 people on your network, you may have a lot of IP addresses that are all internal private IP addresses. They never see the light of day outside, but they go through a router that has one real IP address assigned, and that way all those devices connect to the internet through that one IP address. Got it? Okay. So that's one reason we have avoided running out of IP addresses up to this point, because a lot of people, most people actually, NAT internally and connect to the internet that way. But it's finally gotten to the point that we're just about run out of IPv4 addresses. So what do? You create a whole new standard called IPv6. Yes. And that has multiplied trillion the billions of addresses, okay? But means we have to convert to that new system, which means I have job security. Yeah, as a system administrator. And I'm sure that the guys at work that are the network guys are going, what are you talking about? We're the ones that have to fool with it. Well, I have to put it on the servers. Yeesh. Okay, so let's go to the news item that really is the first news item, because that was an old one that I didn't get to last time. Anyway, IE 9, Internet Explorer 9, will change how we write web pages. Basically, we won't have to make allowances for Internet Explorer anymore when we write our web pages. I got tired of always having to say, okay, how's it going to look on Internet Explorer? Oh, it's going to look terrible. Well, I'll have to program the page so that it doesn't look quite so bad on Internet Explorer. I got tired of that because Chrome displays correctly. Opera displays correctly. Mozilla Firefox displays correctly. They adhere to web standards, but Microsoft goes, we're not going to adhere to web standards because we're Microsoft. Well, finally, somebody at Microsoft got a clue and said, okay, we'll support web standards. So they're supposed to start doing that with IE9 big time, including HTML version 5. Dude, so that's going to be cool. So there's a neat little article here. I'd encourage you to go read it. There's a link here right on the blog where you can go read this article by Robert Johnson on developing for IE9 and some of the cool things that are coming. He mentioned CSS, which is Cascading Style Sheets version 3 support. He mentions hardware acceleration, jump list, and developer tools. All kinds of good stuff. And of course, HTML5. I kind of skipped that because I already talked about it. But anyway, good stuff. So read that article. Check it out. Matter of fact, I see a slight typo in this article. So I'm going to fix it right here while I'm doing the program. How silly is that? And just that quick, I fixed it. What can I say? I'm just awesome that way. Yeah, no, I don't have any problems with ego. Yeah. Okay, next item. Humans face a computer on Jeopardy next week. This is big. Now, why do I say that? Because the IBM computer Watson, an artificial intelligence type computer, will take on Ken Jennings and the other guy, Brad Rutter. I'm not as familiar with Brad as I am with Ken Jennings. I watched Ken Jennings for a long time. Dude, he was just good. Okay, I'm sure Brad is good too. I just don't remember him. But at any rate, the two of them are going to take on the IBM Watson Artificial Intelligence next week starting Monday. So tune in Jeopardy Monday and watch the computer play humans. Gonna be interesting. Yes. No! The drum roll, of course, is telling us that it's time for the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is Gmer. Gmer? G-M-E-R. That's the name, Gmer. Basically, what it is a rootkit revealer. Now, there is a program called Rootkit Revealer that is made by Sys Internals, but it does not appear to work very well on Windows 7. I don't think they've updated it, nor do I think they plan to, because the page is even dead. But this is a free and available, freely available, rootkit revealer and fixer. You say, what's a rootkit? Well, I'm going to tell you. A rootkit is where somebody puts... Now, this is why I looked into it. I was surfing the web, just having fun, and I hit a web page. It was an ordinary, plain old web page, not anything weird. It wasn't one of those pages you shouldn't go to. You know, places you wouldn't want to be seen. You know what I'm saying? Okay, but anyway, no, it was just an ordinary web page, and I got a little blip from my antivirus that said, I have protected you from a rootkit. I went, dude! Well, you know, even if your antivirus tells you I protected you from a rootkit, you get a little nervous, and here's why. Because a rootkit installs on your machine, roots it, that's a term that comes from the Linux, Unix world, which means it basically gives over the rights of system administration to whoever is running the rootkit. So they basically have the ability to take over your machine and do whatever they want to do, including get all your data, or crash it, or other horrible things. So anyway, you don't want rootkits on your system. So if you download Gmer and you run it, let it scan, it will check for hidden processes, hidden threads, hidden modules, hidden... You get the idea. They're all hidden, right? All this stuff that might be running out there trying to compromise your machine. It will find it, it will reveal it, and allow you to get rid of it. Good stuff! So that's our Geek Software of the Week. Okay? Okay. So I hope you enjoyed all the fun and geekiness. More to come because We just love the geekiness. So until next time, remember that the doctor is out of here!